Kitty, the castanet. The castanet is one half of a concussive or directly struck idiophone. It is, according to the Horn-Bostel-Sax system, a hollowed-out vessel clapper.
Hollowed out just like us?
Yeah. With a rating of 111.141, as opposed to vessel clappers with manufactured rims, which rate 111.142. But that's not why it warrants pity.
No, no.
The player, or castanologist,
castanetologist?
Castanetologist.
I love that. I want to be a castanetologist.
You can, by striking the instrument by applying either a mechanical intermediate device, such as a brick or frozen tongue, or by applying clear, individual strokes to the instrument with whichever prehensile appendage is available. This, too, is no reason to feel sorry for it. No, the real reason for the castanet will become clear, but not until another 444 words have passed. The 20th...
1, 2, 3.
Anniversary.
Four,
the
five,
20th,
six,
that's,
seven.
I'm going back.
Oh, I see.
The 20th anniversary of an event, such as a wedding, the castration of a large
farm... The castanet
farm,
of a large farm animal.
Exactly.
I see.
Of a large farm animal, or the first radio show... in a series of, say, 537, typically results in a celebratory gift from well-wishers of something made out of China, something made in China,
yes,
or the entire eponymous People's Republic itself. It has long been the goal of the... Where's our background music?
Well, press something.
Press something. How about that?
See what happens.
Okay. It's jogging. There.
Good. Go for it.
All right. I don't hear anything. Ah, there's something. Where was I?
You, China.
China. It has long been the goal of the two referees of a certain radio show that once upon a time coincidentally aired 537 episodes from this very radiophonic studio to tap into that last selection, which comprises 1.36 billion potential listening audience. Which is approximately 1.36 billion more than who tuned in each week while the aforementioned radio show was, you know, radio showing. But...
I almost read that as radio shopping.
We could.
We could. Let's radio shop.
What can we buy?
I don't know.
Or sell.
All right.
That too. But tapping requires a bucket, a maple tree, and a spigot. Three items that were beyond the wherewithal of the erstwhile radio show's budget. A budget that even now, as the show is back from the dearly departed for one last anniversarial gasp, continues to run on the fiscal equivalent of life support.
And block me.
Not that we're no, you know, complaining or anything. Four more. What is this music?
We'll get to what
okay,
it is.
Okay, yes.
It doesn't last long.
No. That's right. 2 minutes and... Oh, never mind. Yes. For more than 10 years. The hosts... How many words do we have left?
I have no idea. Probably about 378.
Fine. The hosts of that radio show had their work cut out for them, much as one of their guests had his ankle cut out of him by the confused night surgeon of St. Salmon's Hospital.
St. Salmon's Hospital is back!
Where all he, the guest, really wanted was directions to the on-air studio, but that's another story.
It will happen to every guest today, as a matter of fact. We will be full of ankles.
Ooh. Ankle deep in ankylosity.
Yes, exactly.
Today's story should be somewhat less painful to you, the listening audience, provided your non-pop vaccination schedule is up to date, for we propose to ply you with the radiophonic equivalent of a speed dating contest. For the next, 4 hours, easy, no fewer than...
3 hours and 56 minutes now.
Oh, I wasn't keeping track.
I was.
Let me read that back then. For the next, 3 hours and 55
minutes, yes.
Easy, our hours... something. No fewer than
1.36 billion
composers, give or take, will sit down before this microphone, or one just like it should they choose to remain in their own personal virtual environment, briefly meet and greet you, the listening audience, and then, in the few moments allotted to them, perform or cause to have performed some tune or auditory event or
something
that they hope will get you to like their music enough to take them out for an unchaperoned social engagement where you can discuss, for example, the influx of Hallux dolorosus on G minor triads while knocking back ginkgo smoothies.
Or trying on your cement shoes, as it were,
Are,
in this case.
That, oh,
well, the music we play, yes.
Oh, right. The act of discussing the influence of Hallux dolorosus on G minor triads, by the way, rates a 3 on the hierarchy of musical improbabilities, which coincidentally is the same score as a successful implementation of today's non-pop radio broadcast. Not to be confused with a broad castanet, an instrument sadly lacking in any of this afternoon's scheduled performances.
Oh, there it is. Okay, this only this performance counts. Yes, good. Thank you.
Now that I think of it, the mere non-use of a non-manufactured rim vessel clapper on a non-regularly scheduled non-pop radio program is no reason to pity it.
Non-pits.
Rather, it should be celebrated for getting any mention at all on today's 20th special anniversary episode of Calvo Sandamian's New Music Bazaar, which, thanks to the fourth corollary of Heisenberg's uncertainty principle, is already available for download at calvos.org.
How did that happen?
If you prefer to experience this program in real time, which may even feature
the occasional unplanned
click of the castanet.
Then you need to do no more than keep your digits
from straying too closely to your playback's device's off button. Off is, coincidentally, where my voice will now go as we prepare for its converse, which is not a basketball sneaker so much as it. What are you pointing towards?
The music has gone away.
Press a button here. No, that's the same one. Let's
go ahead.
Okay. Is this something? It's the same thing.
We have guests waiting.
Oh. As we prepare for its conference, which is not a basketball sneaker so much as it is the voice of prophecy, the voice of America, the voice of,
of
Calvos.
Well, wonderful. I love the idea of the castanet, and we are so full of guests today. Yeah, oh, thank you. Yes.
All right, that's enough.
That's good. I can applaud now.
Well.
Okay.
Yes.
We're full of guests today. Our first guest today is well known to the local audiences here, Dennis Dara.
I thought we were his guests. How's this working?
I don't know. It could be any of the things. And he's going to tell us a little bit about what he's brought along, and we're going to play some of it.
Yeah, right.
Dennis Dara, welcome to Calvos.
Wait.
Yeah, we need mics
on. Mics on.
Are we up yet?
We are.
We are up. I'm really honored to be the first victim. I mean, guest. And I hope this is run like one of those survival radio shows.
Everybody goes out.
And I can get out of here first, too. So my name is Dennis Dara. I was.
We know that.
Well, I didn't.
Oh, okay. Yes, that happens.
And yeah, thanks very much.
You come into this environment, and things begin to leak out of your cerebral area.
They're not going to leak out my ears with these things clamped to them. But anyway, what I brought was a fold-in of Morton Feldman String Quartet Number 2. It's spread over 4 discs, but. Well, one day I was thinking, what happens if you played all 4 at once?
What does happen?
Well, we're going to hear what happens. And if you put the CDs in 4 CD players and put them on repeat, because they're all different times, it just goes on forever and never meets up again. At least I'm not going to do the math for that. So Morton Feldman String Quartet, what I call a fold-in of that. It's a process piece, and it's pretty cheeky to take somebody who's a minimalist and turn them into a maximalist, but what can I say?
You just did.
So, go for it, or ask me a question. Quick.
Let's go for it. Let's hear some of this wrapped up, what did you say?
Morton Feldman String Quartet 2 from the Hat Hut release. There's another release, at least one other that I know
this
of.
This is the Mad Magazine version.
On another label. This is
the fold-in.
This is the Middlesex version. Thank you.
Morton Feldman fold-in.
Yeah. I just like to say to everybody, you too can try this in your own home. Just don't try to copyright it.
Right, exactly. Now, this what's amazing about this is how it feels like the ghost of Feldman has invaded a latter-day minimalist.
Yeah, I don't have any great philosophy about it. It's just that all of a sudden I thought, I wonder what that would sound like. And that's what prompts me to do these kind of things at home or elsewhere, on the radio station, wherever I can get away with it legally.
Yes.
So that's what my contribution is today.
Did we mention your radio program?
Oh, tomorrow morning I'm here, 10 a.m. to 12:30.
Would be Sunday morning.
Sunday morning, every Sunday morning.
Yes.
And I have been doing it since 1995, which is, I think, when your show started, too.
That's right, 1995.
So I'm in my 21st year. A bit long in the tooth, but we explore musics from around the world and other cultures and other places.
Dennis Dara, thanks so much for joining us, very briefly, albeit, but for this special celebration.
Oh, I'm glad to make it. I'm glad you guys are back in the booth. It's really great to see you here. I wish we just started up on a regular basis. And where did I put the payola?
Just so.
Yeah, there's a container right there over on the side. It says tip jar, but that's just to disguise what
right,
it really is.
Right, okay.
Thanks very much.
All right, thank you. And give me that.
Yes, we will.
Fold-in. We got a Feldman fold-in going. Something I was going to say. Oh, yes. Something I was going to say is...
We could do a just brief shout-out to the two radio programs that we are preempting.
Yes, that would please be do that.
The Metal Edge by longtime metal maniac J. Willis Pratt.
Yes, our favorite headbanger, J. Willis Pratt.
Followed by John Foster's Box Full of Blues. Whether he knows it or not, his program is being preempted, but thanks anyway.
Yes, indeed. And you're hearing all this, by the way, on WGDR Plainfield and WGDH Hardwick.
Hey, when they get the second radio station, that's great. Not when we were here.
Yeah, that's what that payola goes to.
Ah, of course.
Let's see if we, while we're listening to this, see if we can reach our friend William Sussman, who's our next guest.
Thank you.
Yes, it was Eleanor Roar's string quartet, and we're going to try to reach her.
Well, what happened to guest number two?
Well, guest number two didn't answer his Skype call, and now we're calling Ms. Roar.
It's like dialing for dollars.
Yeah, really?
Oh, we're not supposed to say that word.
Dollars?
No, dialing.
No. My goodness.
We have a couple of co-hosts in the studio.
We do. Let's introduce them. Wait.
Hello?
We have an answer. Oh. Yes, hello. Welcome to Calvos and Damien.
You're on the air.
Sorry?
Oh. Welcome to Calvos and Damien. Yes, hi.
Wait, who is this?
Oh, my God. I forgot to put my Skype thing up. But should we go to Skype? Or
We're
right
live.
Here?
We're on the air.
Oh, we're live. Oh, my God. So exciting.
and we just played your lovely string quartet. So thanks a lot for that.
Good.
Yeah, let's at least talk about how that wonderful string quartet came about.
Well, it was actually kind of an exciting story because that's my third quartet. I had gotten a commission from the Rockport Chamber Music Festival through my friend David DeVoe, who's the director of the festival. And I was very excited because I got to work with the Borromeo String Quartet for that commission, and then I had a little time in my life and a little space, and I was really interested in Hildegard von Bingen,
uh-huh.
And that's why it's called the Abbey. And I was really interested in her long lines and her, you know, there's something, you know, chant is all about melody and long lines and everything, but Hildegard has these incredible huge ranges, you know? I mean, I don't know how well you guys know Hildegard, but
I think everybody who listens to this radio station certainly would, because, you know, this alternative kind of thing would be hearing Hildegard von Bingen.
Yeah.
And you should point out that this is not in a manner range, but a range of vocalness.
Yeah, no, huge vocal range, yeah. And kind of variety. So anyway, so that's what I was kind of trying to channel Hildegard, and a couple of other things that are kind of personal.
So we were just asked to restate who we're speaking with. And we're talking to... Yeah. So do you say... I've always wondered if your name is Elena or Elena.
Elena
Roar. And we're speaking to you, and you're in Massachusetts right now?
I'm in Wellfleet, Massachusetts.
Wellfleet. That's out on the Cape, isn't it?
Yes, out on the Cape.
All right. And since we haven't spoken to you in more than 10 years, why don't you refresh us on a little bit of your background? And of course, you needn't tell us tell anyone how we found you, because that's always embarrassing. But a little bit about what you've been doing for the past 10 years.
Well, the most important thing that ever happened to me was that I was on your show, and I think you found me through BMOP. I was a composer in residence at the Boston Modern Orchestra Project.
Right.
Doesn't that sound right?
That's right.
And you guys heard my music and came to a concert, and we met, and then you invited me up, and I had a great time. And that little radio show, you know, hung around on the web for a long time. My students would listen to it, and it was very funny.
But at one point you said, I don't want that radio show on the air anymore, so we had to take it down.
Is that true?
Yes.
Said that?
Yes, you did.
Oh, I changed my mind. Oh. I must have been in a bad
mood. Well, I'll put it back there, then.
put it back. I love that little radio show. Oh, I can't believe I said that. I must have just had a bad day.
Oh, okay.
I do sometimes. Everybody has bad days, right?
Are you interrupting me?
Go ahead.
What? Did someone over there have a question? My question was, if you were writing with the castanet in mind, that's today's question. We're trying to place this radio show in the theme of the castanet, and we're wondering if you've used castanets in any of your recent compositions.
I have used a castanet in my cantata called Gospel Cha-Cha.
Excellent.
All right.
Yep. So there you go.
There you go, see?
There.
Okay, good.
End of story with you.
I wish I had I could play it for you right now, but it goes... Yeah, there you go. You're better at that.
There we are.
So, yeah, that's it, though. That's the only time.
We have two co-hosts here, Eve Beglerian and Robert Bonotto, who have questions as well.
Okay.
Hey there, Elena. You remember when we last hung out? It's Eve Baglarian. You probably don't.
Eve Baglarian. Oh, my gosh. Yes, Eve. I remember when we hung out. I think the last time was at the June and Buffalo Festival. I hope I'm right, but
you
I think
right.
so.
I
we
think
were,
you're
you
right.
You drove me around.
Yeah.
I was like a kid.
And we were children.
As far as I'm concerned, I was a child, and you were kind of a grown up. And I looked up to her. I was like, "Oh, look at her! She's so cool."
And look what's happened.
That's it.
She's still so cool.
It's totally great.
I still feel that way.
It's so great to reconnect over however many years that is. A lot, yeah.
A lot of years. Yeah. Oh, you're right there.
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm actually in the control room of the station whose call letters I don't really remember. I'm embarrassed to say.
Oh, sure you do. West German Deutsches Radio here.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I follow your work, Eve. I do. And I think it's really, really cool and really interesting what you're doing. And all your, didn't you go on a nice canoe ride and keep track of it and everything, right?
Yeah.
You tell me. I don't want to get it wrong.
No, that's totally lovely. Actually, we're here to talk about you, though. So, you could tell us more about the castanets and the cha-cha gospel, or you could tell us what you're working on now, like whatever you're in the mood to talk about.
Oh, I could tell you guys about Eve Baglarian. I love her. I wish we could. We should get coffee, okay? But
totally.
Meanwhile,
yes.
Gospel cha-cha. Oh, it's on a recording called Averno, and it features all my music for chorus and orchestra.
Is Averno related to Louise Gluck?
Louise Gluck.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to be
poetry.
Yeah, she's like one of my favorites. I'm doing a piece with her, a text by her this evening, actually. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah,
that's
so cool.
She's got to be one of the greatest poets ever.
Yeah.
I just love her work. Yeah. So I wrote a cantata based on her book Averno.
Yeah.
And it goes from the beginning to the end, and it doesn't use every single poem because there's a lot of them, but
right.
it uses the first poem, the last poem, and a bunch of stuff in between, It's a nice recording made with Julian Wachner. Do you know Julian?
Yes,
he's a
doctor. Yeah.
And a great composer. A really great musician.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And,
where can we get that record? Where is it?
Yeah, you should get that.
Yeah, where
it's
is
on,
it?
You can go to Spotify or iTunes or Amazon or
cool.
whatever. You know, just look for Averno and Ruhr.
Okay.
You can find it there. So it's Avi Records. Which is a great label. Avi, great label. Like them a lot.
Cool.
So, go ahead.
How's Spotify treating you? Let's talk
oh
a little
God.
Bit.
Oh, my God.
How many millions
I,
of...
am I Taylor Swift? Do I care? Sorry. I mean, I don't make much money on my recordings, you know what I mean? So, I'm not too worried about that. And I don't know. I'm probably offending a bunch of people right now, but I love Spotify because, you know, it's just such an easy tool to get to all kinds of great music, you know? So, but maybe people don't feel that way, and you should all tell me that I should unsubscribe or whatever. But
No. I was very, very pleased to receive my royalty for streaming, which was, I think, 4/10,000 of a penny, as I recall. Yes, I did not get a check for that. It was simply rolled into my other.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's so sad.
I know.
That's sad. Well, we could all do a collective. If we all got together, you know, all the composers, all of us together, we could be like 1/100th of Taylor Swift, and we could probably.
That's right.
Right, and we could have a party and. And the beer would probably cost the same as the royalties of all of us pooled together.
That's right.
So, you know,
there
would be a nice
there is
party.
There is a tip jar in the studio here.
Well, that's not why we do it, right?
Yeah, I suppose not.
Wait, it is for me. It just hasn't worked out.
So you didn't pay for dinner last night then?
Oh, let's not go there.
What?
No, Damien didn't pay for dinner last night. So
someone did.
Oh.
See? All right. So what's your plans coming up next? What's coming up next for you in composition and career even? Let's even talk career.
Oh, okay. Well, I keep teaching at MIT, which I've been doing for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I have a flute concerto with the Radius Ensemble being premiered in October. And a cappella opera.
Whoa.
Which is being done by amazing, amazing Cappella Clausura in Boston. They are so good. Amy LeClaire is the director, and she just really knows how to program. So we're going to do this a cappella opera based on Cassandra, and that's in November in Boston.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then I'm also really excited about a viola concerto that's being premiered in D.C. with the New Orchestra of Washington, which is it's kind of like a BMOP version of in D.C., you know. Although they do old and new music, but they always commission a piece for every concert. So we'll do that with Marcus Thompson, who's playing the viola. So
wow, that sounds
wonderful. Big things coming up.
Congratulations.
Fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's I'm thrilled.
Great.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks. How about you, Eve? What are you doing?
Well, I'm starting a big project about visionary artists, sort of vernacular visionary artists, and I've been traveling around Houston, Louisiana, and then just recently Erie, Pennsylvania, and Niagara Falls, meeting visionary
wow.
artists, and it's and hanging out and documenting them. I'm working with a videographer named Matt
uh-huh.
Petty, and we've been traveling around. It's been really a fun summer. So I'm just
oh, that sounds great.
Figuring out how that's going to take shape. Don't know yet, but
yeah,
it's fun. Definitely.
I look forward to seeing the results, hearing and seeing the results. Sounds like it's a film, kind of film and music, or is it
yeah.
just a...
Yeah, or, some sort of yeah. documentary... music intermedia thing. Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, we're so specific. We composers just, oh, yes, it's a documentary intermedia thing. I mean, I'm gonna go out there and I'm going to paddle the Mississippi again. And
we're just going to goof around.
Yeah, exactly.
See what happens.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
Elena Ruhr, thank you so much for joining us on Calvis and Damien. Again, after all, such a long time, it's just such a great pleasure.
It's a great pleasure to talk to you guys. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you, Elena. Call me when you're in New York.
All right, honey.
All right.
We'll get together.
You be good.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
We can't have dead air. What do we do?
Well, we're going to go. We're going to connect to.
Introduce
him. Oh yeah, yes, Robert Bonotto. Come on.
Oh, hi.
There you are. You've been quiet.
Well, I've been under the table.
Just to make a picture of what's going on, I'm sitting in this really high chair, sort of the high chair, right? Except that I don't have a little apron on me. And then Robert is like...
I'm in the low chair, and yeah. I do.
Yeah, and so there's like this really weird thing, and the mic is sort of now somewhere halfway between us, and it's a curious phenomenon.
So hi.
So hi.
entertain us, please.
She mentioned the Borromeo String Quartet, and I worked with them in a somewhat odd way. I played Bartok in a one-man show with them performing the Bartok Six.
That is,
and
you acted as
I acted
Bartok.
As in a 50-minute play, and then they... The thing is that physically I could make about 2.5 Bartoks, so... It was a real stretch for the audience to believe me as anything like one.
But you were a stretched Bartok in that case.
I was a stretched Bartok.
What, 10 tones per octave?
Yes, exactly. A microtonal
to a 10
Bartok.
EDO.
It was enjoyable and somewhat bizarre in experience. I'd never done a one-man show before, so... I had nobody to blame if anything happened or I forgot my lines.
Did it have a happy ending?
No. I think that he dies at the end.
Hmm. Just like you do in front of your audience
yeah.
each night?
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, the sound of one hand clapping, pretty much.
Our next guest coming up will be Scott Miller. And we're going to try and reach him and see if he's there. By the way, for those of you tuning in and wondering what is going on, this is Calvus and Damien's New Music Bazaar, a special 10th anniversary, 20th anniversary, please. Sorry, the 10th since we've gone off the air, 20th since we went on the air here on WGDR. And we've contacted a few of our previous guests who are joining us. And as always, we sort of expand technologies whenever we can. And this time we're trying to do a live on-air group of conversations via Skype. And our first one did seem to get through. We were trying to reach William Sussman, and we couldn't reach him today. He seemed to be away. And then we contacted Elena Ruhr, and she was there, and we had a wonderful time. And now we're going to try to reach Scott Miller. So shall we try to do that?
Is there an alternative?
Well, we'll see whether there's an alternative.
Can I play some of his music?
Yes.
Shall we play some of his music first?
If it's number 5 on CD2.
That's exactly what it would be.
Then sure.
I think that's Morton Feldman again.
I hear nothing.
I hear nothing.
Oh, here comes the voice of reason.
Well, it seems to be up. It seems to be playing. And the CD1 seems to be turned on. And I hear nothing. Well, I'm not quite sure what that means. Neither one is working. This is live radio, as always.
And the technology has improved in the last 10 years.
It has indeed.
It seems to be running. Well, I tell you
what. It's very subtle.
Let's try to reach him, and in the meantime, switch CD players, and we'll see what happens. Let's try to reach Scott L. Miller.
I love the build-up.
Yep.
Now, come on, Scott. You've got to be there. There he is. At least I see his image.
And I see yours.
Ah, there you are, Scott L. Miller. Welcome to Calvus and Damien's special 20th anniversary presentation. Hi.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's great. It's been a very, very long time.
No kidding. 1999, I think.
Yeah. Where are you right now?
I am in Minneapolis.
Okay. So we've been trying to play this piece, and for some reason it's not coming up, and we're going to talk to you. Catch us up to date from 1999 to 2015. 16 years of isolation away from Calvus and Damien.
Yeah.
You're being quiet.
Unless we've lost him.
We couldn't have lost him. Scott, catch us up. Oh dear.
I love live radio. So much can go right.
Let's try this again.
That was the first time for everything.
Call finished. Oh dear, we have a disconnection issue here.
Meantime, we're continuing to play his CD.
Is that it?
There it is.
Okay.
I knew it.
And Scott's back, so we will bring this temporarily down, put that on pause, and see if we can catch... We lost you there, Scott. Again. Oh, dear.
That in itself is a charming sound.
Isn't it? Just great. All right, bring it back to the beginning of the track, and we'll play it this time. All right.
Hey, it's gone again.
This is
WGDR Plainfield and WGDH Hardwick. Not that we're complaining or anything.
This is mysterious. The CD began to play properly, and then it stopped.
I have an 8-track in the car. If you're
I have reel-to-reels of mine.
Digital technology is just not doing us a good deed here.
Shall we go back? Shall we call Elena again? That worked.
That worked. No. Let's see here. Oh.
What?
What was that?
That sounded like...
It sounded like the piece.
Maybe it is. Perhaps it takes a while.
That's it.
Maybe
good.
There's something wrong with the CD itself, maybe. Thank you.